Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
And welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
According to the World Health Organization, breast cancer is the most frequent cancer among women, impacting more than 2 million women each year. It also causes the greatest number of cancer-related deaths among women. It's estimated that more than 600,000 women die from breast cancer each year. And while breast cancer rates are higher among women in more developed regions, rates are increasing in nearly every region worldwide. And joining us today to talk about her success in treating breast cancer is Lisa Jordan from Ontario, Canada. Lisa, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Now, Lisa, you were diagnosed 2 years ago. Tell us about your diagnosis.
2 years ago, I had felt what I just thought, it felt like an egg in my right breast, literally a hard-boiled egg. And long story short, I got it checked 3 times, and they kept telling me, you're too young, it looks like a cyst, and if I can say anything, it is to be your own advocate. And I pushed and I pressed, and lo and behold, I was diagnosed with stage 4 de novo right from the start, stage 4 right from the start.
Now, they say you were too young. How young were you?
So I would have been 38 at that point. And they felt that, you know, at 38 years old, you know, we don't need to mammogram you, you know, an ultrasound would be fine. And I said, well, I'm not really comfortable with that. We do have a family history. So I did push them for it. And we got a mammogram and a biopsy, which confirmed it.
That's interesting that they said you were too young, even though you had a lump in your breast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they contributed it to a blocked or infected milk duct for literally a year and a half after I had my son. They said, no, you've had a baby. It's, you know, it's definitely an infected or a blocked milk duct. And then they scanned it again and said, you know, it's kind of fluid filled. We're going to say it's a cyst. And they went with that. And I said, I'm not comfortable with that. It's not going away. It's not going down. I want it biopsied. I want this rectified. So,
well, it's amazing you had to push that hard with a lump that size in your breast.
Yeah, it's actually mind blowing, and I'm certainly not alone in this category. I've talked to several different younger women, all in the same boat, who have been told, you know, it's a cyst. You're too young to have breast cancer. But I'm here to tell you that breast cancer does not discriminate. It doesn't care what age you are.
Was your doctor male or female?
Female.
Wow. I thought a female doctor would have been more aware of it.
Yeah, you would think, right? But I mean, I guess they go by their guidelines, what's given to them by the government, I guess.
Now, once you were diagnosed with stage 4 and the doctors were aware of it, did they say anything?
She did not. The main doctor that originally told me my diagnosis, that was just my regular GP. Mm-hmm. She didn't say a word about the stage 4 diagnosis, actually. And then it was just more or less from there, I went straight to my oncologist, and my GP was kind of out of the picture at that point.
Out of the picture, right.
Lisa, was this a hormone-driven breast cancer?
So I have 2 primaries. So on my left breast, I have estrogen driven breast cancer, and in my right breast, I have triple negative breast cancer.
I remember. Yes, you're doing the mixed one. It's interesting. There's been several women that I've dealt with that have had both.
Yeah. It's very tricky to treat when you have 2 different subtypes.
Yeah, exactly. Have this spread anywhere?
So I did have metastasis to lymph nodes in my chest and also 2 metastases in my liver.
Wow. So what goes through your head when you finally get that diagnosis, which at some level I think you kind of suspected all along?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the first thing that goes that went through my head was, okay, let's do surgery, like cut it off, cut it out, whatever you have to do, get rid of it. I have a 2-year-old son at home at this point, and his mommy needs to be here.
Well, that's incredible. Can either one of you explain for our listeners and for me, being a male, the difference between estrogen-driven and triple negative?
Certainly. Corey, do you want me to take this one?
You go right ahead.
So the estrogen-driven is just like it said. So estrogen in your body feeds the tumor, and that estrogen can come from your pituitary gland. It can come from your ovaries, and it actually comes from the androgen that turns into estrogen in your body. So there's 3 different ways you can get estrogen-driven breast cancer. Now, on my right side, it's triple negative. So that does not have any hormones. It doesn't have any HER2 proteins in it. So it can't be treated with a hormonal or lack thereof hormonal treatment. Typically, triple negative has to go pretty much straight to chemo.
That's interesting how one breast is different than the other in terms of the cause of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you underwent conventional treatment. What was that like for you?
It was pretty tough. Conventional treatment certainly knocked me on my derriere, to say the least. But I went through it. I tried to stay as healthy as I possibly could. And then once conventional treatment was done, there was still a couple little spots that still were glowing, and I just did not feel comfortable with that. So,
where were these spots, Lise?
So I still had a glowing spot in both breasts, and I had one spot still glowing in my liver, actually.
Mm.
Now, what was your mental attitude like through all of this treatment?
Soldier up. Put on your tough exterior and push through, and basically get your stuff together, because you have to be here for your family and you're going to do whatever it takes to accomplish that.
Yeah, you've got a really interesting attitude, because you took your health into your own hands, and a lot of people turn their health over to their doctor with sometimes dire consequences. But you were resolved in your determination to get rid of this, weren't you?
Yep, absolutely. I went in with an attitude that I am the CEO of this vessel, and I will say what goes in this vessel and what does not. So,
now, you said a few moments ago that you tried to stay as healthy as you could. Elaborate on that a bit.
When I was going through conventional treatment, obviously it just really hits your system quite hard. So I did a lot of juicing to keep my levels up in order to keep getting chemo, and my neutrophils. You have to keep those up. And for people that don't know what those are, your neutrophils are going to determine whether or not you're able to get chemo. It determines whether or not you've got infection in the blood. So I had to constantly juice and lots of raw veggies and fruit, and I laid off the dairy. So I didn't go chaotic with my diet like a lot of people do, but I did heighten my whole foods for sure.
Did you lose weight through all this?
Believe it or not, I gained 40 pounds.
Oh, good for you.
I did. I gained 40 pounds during conventional treatment because obviously the steroids certainly bloat you.
Oh, okay. I thought it was because you were eating so healthily.
Yeah. Well, it could have been a combination of both, but.
Okay. Well, those steroids will do it every time. Boy.
Yeah. I certainly had an undesirable moon face I wasn't happy with. So, with the whole foods, I was able to drop the 40 pounds back down again.
How long did conventional treatment last?
So we went from September to January with chemo. Yeah.
And so at the end of that, what do they say to you? So they, you finish the, this round or drawn out process of having chemo, and then you've still got spots that are lighting up. So what do they say?
Believe it or not, I had to chase them because someone dropped the ball and kind of forgot about me. And I phoned and I said, hello, what's going on? Are we scanning me? Are we doing more treatment? Like, it's obviously not a resolved issue, so I need some attention. And so we did a little bit more conventional treatment. We did some radiation, but still the spot in my liver still lit up, and the spots in my breast were still lighting up. And at this point, they couldn't be certain whether or not those tumors were dead or alive. And I said, well, that's not a good enough answer for me. And that's when I decided to go heavy into the RSO protocol.
Were you on oil when you were doing the chemotherapy?
Not while I was on the chemo. I had started taking it right at radiation time, and it did take me quite a bit to get up to a gram a day. But I ended up getting up to a gram a day during radiation.
Okay, so that hopefully protected your body somewhat from all that radiation.
Absolutely. I look at TMI, I look at the way that my breast skin looks compared to other women that have had the amount of radiation on their breasts that I have, and I would consider myself very lucky. My skin did not go keloidy or ripply like some women's do. It stayed very, very smooth. The breast tissue stayed very soft. And I can definitely attribute that to the cannabis for sure.
What happened to the 40 pounds?
It melted.
Yay. Yay. So you said it took you quite some time to get to a gram a day. Were you doing it all orally?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I ended up micro-dosing little bits all day long until I finally built up enough tolerance that I could take a full gram of oil a day.
That's a very interesting way of doing it. Instead of taking it all at once, at one time, like, say, before bed, you just took little bits throughout the day until your tolerance built up to a gram a day.
Yeah, and it was, for me, it provided a lot of relief during the day. Those little micro doses were just enough to take the edge off the anxiety of going through cancer, and it also significantly helped with my bone and joint pain, because once you've had an estrogen breast cancer, they turn off your estrogen, so your ovaries are shut down. And your ovaries produce estrogen, which helps your bones. So your bones get very sore and achy, and the cannabis was a major help for me.
When you went to the doctor, did the doctor know what you were doing?
Absolutely not. I went to my oncologist after conventional therapy, and I said, what are your thoughts or how do you feel about cannabis oil? And are we allowed to say four-letter words here?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay. And she looked at me and didn't even give me a sentence. And she turned to me and she said, it's all bullshit.
I
thought, wow, that's not the answer I want. And I thought, okay, well, then you don't need to know what's going on behind the scenes, because I'm going to take my health into my own hands and I'm going to get rid of this once and for all.
It's all bullshit, she said.
Yep.
Isn't that incredible?
Yep. I was kind of blown away, but I wasn't overly shocked, because, I mean, let's face it, who makes money off of chemotherapy? Mm-hmm. Oncologists and pharmaceutical companies. So if you're treating it with something, more natural, the money is not going in their pocket.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
How long after you started taking oil did you notice any difference?
Believe it or not, I actually had a scan after I did a little bit longer than the 90 days. I think I actually went past 120 days on a full gram a day because I really wanted to knock it out. I would say I had scans after 3.5 months on the oil, and they said everything was shrinking.
Awesome. So that must have been really encouraging.
Yeah, that was the light bulb that just went ding. Hello, silly, you're on the right track.
Everything that was shrinking, was that? Are we referring to what was in your breasts and in your liver then?
Breast, liver, and the one lymph node in my chest. Yep.
Awesome.
And how are you? Go ahead.
Sorry, dear. After the 3 months, I had two little spots in my left breast, completely gone. They couldn't find them.
Wow. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they attribute that to the conventional treatment.
Absolutely. They say, well, you know, the radiation has a long-lasting effect, and, you know, sometimes it takes a while for the tumor to dissipate after radiation.
Do you feel any side effects from the chemo and radiation?
Absolutely. Cognitively, I'm an insurance broker when I'm working. I'm not back at work yet, but cognitively, it has definitely kind of impaired me at this point. I am told that will go away, but I also still have a bit of neuropathy in my fingers and toes as well. So the cannabis helps with that as well.
Is that dissipating?
The neuropathy, I can definitely still feel it in a couple of fingers and toes for sure, but it is 100% better than it was. Absolutely, it is going away.
And are you cancer-free today?
As of today, I've just had a scan on my liver, no reoccurrence and no residual disease and no active disease in the breasts.
Way to go, Lisa.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It just goes to show you what taking health into your own hands can do.
Absolutely. I mean, two things I can vouch for, one being your own advocate, and two, cannabis oil works.
Yeah. Now, Lisa, you're on a multi-strain oil, aren't you?
I am, yeah. Because I have two separate primaries and metastasis, we had to kind of vary up the ratios of my oil a little bit to treat both types of cancer. So my ratio is 3 THC for every 1 part CBD.
Right. And that THC component, because I happen to know where you're sourcing from, is different strains. It's not just one strain in there. I believe there's 6 different strains in there.
Yeah, 6 or 7, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, guys, we're certainly becoming more aware, and I've mentioned this, I know, before, that it's really important to have multi-strains if possible. It just increases your chances so much more.
Absolutely.
Lisa, when you started the cannabis oil, did you intuitively know that it would work?
I felt in my gut it would work because there were so many signs, and then I actually had a woman who lived not too far from me contact me out of the blue. It was a friend of my mother's who I'd never spoken to, and she said, "You've got to contact this lady, wink, wink, Corey, and she is going to put you on the right track, I promise you this." So I researched and researched before I made any contacts because I really wanted to have my full faculties before I dove into something. And I just saw so many testimonials to it. And I thought, what have I got to lose at this point? I'm stage 4. It's terminal. So I'm gonna do, if you would have told me that shit with sugar on it would have cured cancer, I would have ate a mouthful. So
I love that.
But I went right for it. After I saw so many different testimonials, I went right for it head first, and I knew that this was the right direction for me to be in.
And you had a complicated cancer. Would you say that was more complicated than most breast cancers, Corey?
Yeah, it is, definitely. Because, you know, you treat hormone-driven breast cancer one way and triple negative the other way, and she's got the two. She's got the full banquet happening.
Yep. And I'm also BRCA2 positive as well. So, that also kind of throws a wrench into the situation as well.
For listeners who don't know what that is, could you just expand on that just a little, Lisa?
Certainly. It's a genetic mutation within the cells. It is a hereditary genetic mutation that actually came from my dad's side. Most people think it comes from the women's side, but that's not the case. It came from dad's side. And what it does is it's this mutation in my cell causes or basically states that I am 40 to 50% greater of getting breast cancer and or ovarian cancer than the regular population.
Wow. And you're essentially cancer-free today. Didn't you recently have testing done?
Yeah. So I recently just had my tumor markers and my blood work done and my scans done. And as of right now, they're telling me they can't find any disease at this point.
Well, that's good.
And you're gonna carry on taking oil maintenance dose?
Absolutely. So now I've scaled it back. I don't need that full gram a day. Although you could take it. It's a lovely feeling all day long. But so I'm down to about a third of a gram every day. And now that I actually take all before bedtime. I take the complete third of a gram before bed, and I have a wonderful sleep. And it really helps with the bone and joint pain before bed, too.
You said something previously, which I thought was really interesting. You said that in your gut, you knew it would work. And I think women are much more intuitive than men. Mm-hmm. And it's remarkable what you've gone through, and it's remarkable on how you've recovered. And do other women, or have you contacted other women, or you talked to other women about this?
I've definitely been a part of some forums and some different groups on social media. Some women are absolutely terrified about trying cannabis because, depending on the country that they live in, it's still considered illegal. Mm-hmm. So they're more fearful not of what it will do to their body, but more fearful of the law repercussions. So it's very unfortunate that in some countries it's still illegal when it's such a helpful medicine.
Yeah, we've interviewed a number of women with breast cancer who have done so successfully, a number of men with prostate cancer who have done so successfully, a number of people who, like Corey, for example, that were terminal, given only months to live, and now they're cancer-free. So it's, and for a doctor to say it's bullshit, and for a doctor to give an ignorant comment like that is just mind-blowing, because most doctors would simply say, just continue doing what you're doing. And because some doctors in jurisdictions are in kind of a catch-22 situation. They can't recommend cannabis, but they can certainly encourage a person to continue doing what they're doing. And I think it's fabulous that you went against current medical advice and you took your health into your own hands. And I think it's great that you're cancer-free and some of the residual effects of your chemo and radiation are starting to dissipate. And you'll be entering the Toronto Marathon soon.
Yeah. Well, we'll... Not sure about any marathons. I wasn't a runner before the cancer, so I don't think I'm
that a girl. Lisa, what was your family's reaction to you doing oil? Were they really supportive about it, or
believe it or not, I actually thought that my parents would be kind of iffy on it because they're a little bit old school. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They were all for it. They were the ones that said, order it. Whatever you need to do, make it, order it, buy it. And if you run out of money, don't even worry about it, because this is what's saving your life. Keep doing what you're doing.
Wow. Very nice.
Yeah, that is very nice. I mean, you're their child. You'd do the same thing for your daughter, wouldn't you?
Or son.
Or son, yeah, absolutely. Or son. Yeah. Yep, maybe, absolutely.
Maybe you'll have a daughter. I don't know.
Well, it's funny you say that, because we have three on ice. I mean, my body's pretty much pooched for labor until. But if someone's got a free microwave they want to lend me for about 9 months, that'd be great.
Oh dear.
Oh yes, you've got a great attitude.
Well, it's for me, attitude and mindset are just as important as your physical well-being. Your mental well-being dictates your physical well-being, as far as I'm concerned. Mm.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Throughout this, Lisa, did you meditate at all?
I did, actually. I got into yoga, meditation, and just really soothing music. And I would lay down just on my hardwood floor after I've been microdosing all day, and meditate and really heal from the inside out.
Yeah, there are so many. Dr. Joe Dispenza is an interesting chap who lives in Seattle, and he was in a triathlon, and he was hit by a car and ended up in hospital, and they said he would probably never walk again. They wanted to operate. He said no. So he sat in the he laid in the hospital bed, and what he did is meditate through his own mind and reconstructed the bones in his body. And within, I think it was 21 days or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, he walked out. And he's been teaching that ever since. And I think the power of the mind is absolutely incredible. And our body has the ability to heal itself if we give it the right nutrients and if we have the right mindset. And I think you did. And I think you're to be commended for it.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly important. I mean, it sounds, to some people, it sounds very cheesy, but there were times when I would actually sit down in the bottom of the shower and meditate, and I would let the water hit me. And in my mind, in my meditation, I would say to myself, it's washing the cancer down the drain. It's washing it out. It is not inside me. It is out. And that was when I was taking my RSO protocol. And lo and behold, if you will it and you say it to the universe, it's going to happen.
Good for you. Good for you. I'm always really try to be really clear with people. You know, that's cannabis oil is not a fix-all. You know, show me a disease condition this doesn't at least help. But when you embark on this journey, it's a holistic approach: mind, body, spirit. And mm-hmm. You certainly are a living, thriving example of that.
Well, thank you.
Lisa, is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion?
In conclusion, I would say don't be afraid of the unknown. If you are on a cancer journey or any sort of an immunocompromised kind of journey, don't be afraid of the unknown with the cannabis. Go for it. Try it, because it heals you in so many different ways.
Lisa, well said. Thank you very much for doing this. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
And a remarkable story from Lisa in Ontario, Canada. And if you'd like to help us out at Cannabis Health Radio, you can do so by making a one-time donation for as little as $5, and also on Patreon. That's a one-time donation each month for as little as a cup of coffee. That's $5 as well. And if you'd like to help other people, you can share our podcasts, CannabisHealthRadio.com, on the social media platform in which you are using at the moment. We greatly appreciate that. I'd like to thank Ron Zahar of Victoria, who is donating his studio time to us so we can bring you these remarkable interviews of people who have been battling these serious diseases. Thank you, Ron, so much for your kindness and your generosity. And also thank Mark in Belgium, who posts our podcasts on YouTube. And we encourage you to subscribe to Cannabis Health Radio channel on YouTube. And the more folks we get subscribing, the more interest there is in cannabis around the world. Thanks very much for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with another episode of Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.